Cal Poly Humboldt students are entering the third night of their occupation of Siemens Hall on the Cal Poly campus, with fluctuating crowds of supporters outside setting up tents, barbecues, and even live music. Approximately 40 to 60 students are believed to be inside the building, with dozens of supporters outside. Despite classes being canceled or moved to remote learning, the Humboldt, California Faculty Association members stood in solidarity with student protesters on the quad this Wednesday afternoon. Here is a clip of Cal Poly faculty member and chair of faculty rights, Lauren Cannon.
We have to question what is actually happening, even if it looks like a disturbance. Even if it's some people think it's inappropriate, some people think it's unproductive. We should be like doing what we're supposed to be doing today. This is why I'm proud of those folks there to say, you know what? We need to stop. We need to think about what's going on in Gaza. Sometimes I think the weirdest thing about the world is when we lose a loved one or I'm grieving, and the world doesn't stop. Like, people still go to the grocery store. When we have like horrible, the worst, some of the worst kinds of moral atrocities that's happened right now, we don't stop, usually. We just keep on going on our business.
Think about what's going on. Challenge the status quo. And try, and with that kind of thinking, says Hannah Arendt, that's one way we can make a better world. Not just for us little and humble, but our effect reaches far and wide.
Cal Poly Humboldt and University Police have not commented publicly, despite our requests. Eileen Yu, a spokesperson for Cal Poly Humboldt, sent a press release to KMUD this afternoon, which announced that the campus will remain closed through the weekend, extending the closure, which was set to end tomorrow. It also stated that students are occupying an additional building. However, no additional details were provided. The university says it is making various contingency plans, including possibly keeping the campus closed into next week. The press release also stated that numerous laws have been broken, including resisting arrest, destroying and damaging property, criminal trespass, and more. It stated that multiple local, state, and federal agencies are providing resources and support. However, those details remain unclear. You can read the full press release from the university on the KMUD News Facebook and Instagram page. For more, we spoke with student journalists who have been conducting on-the-ground reporting.
From my last count, I just counted 20 tents outside the building. And sometimes it seems like it fluctuates where people leave and come back. But now, like currently, from when I just got out of the quad, there's a lot of people there, a lot of people live streaming and taking video and photos. And then there's people being there with each other. The student community is out. Their classes are not in session, so they're on the quad.
That was Peyton Leone, the editor of the student-run bilingual publication, El Lenador.
Right now, our advisor is advising us to not enter the building just for any legal reasons of trespassing that we don't want to break, but I'm working on trying to talk to people that are inside. I know KRFH is doing good reporting. They've gotten calls from people who are inside. At least that's what they're requesting for. Sorry, let me correct that. They're requesting to talk to people who are inside. I have not listened close enough to them.
We asked Leone if he had any additional details of other buildings being occupied on campus. He clarified,
it's not the same as with Siemens Hall. Siemens Hall is completely guarded off, blocked off with furniture and tables and chairs. Other buildings the doors have been cracked open. And by cracked, I mean like maybe a box put in the doorway to keep it open. And that's people are going there to use facilities like bathrooms. So, and that's people who are out in the quad right now. I don't know who opened it or how they might have gained access to those buildings. But from what I know, there's a Nelson Hall across from it that I know people are using. But in the email communication, it seems like it seems to be implying that there's students in there occupying it in the same way that Siemens Hall is. I can clarify that it's not the same type of student presence there.
Cal Poly Humboldt students run the low-power FM station, KRFH, which is also comprised of young journalists, who stated that some of the statements within the university's press release are unfounded. Here is a clip from their live broadcast earlier this afternoon.
Yeah, I want to bring up the fact that they did say protesters continue to occupy Siemens Hall plus another building. So that other building in question was reported to me to be Nelson Hall. They don't have that barricaded off, by the way. So Nelson Hall, they just have it open to use the restrooms in Nelson's Hall. So there. Also, this right here at the end of the second paragraph, adding to health and safety concerns, many toilets are no longer working. I know my toilets are working here in Gist Hall, and we just had students calling in from within Siemens Hall, the student protesters calling from within Siemens Hall, saying that all the bathrooms are fine.
Also, the water here is running. I just filled up my water bottle.
That itself is concerning. Yeah, and it's concerning that this press release wasn't sent to the students.
Yeah.
This was sent to K-Mud. So again, shout out K-Mud for forwarding this information to us.
Speaking with KRFH and El Lenador, students are reporting barriers and roadblocks to their reporting. And the editor of The Lumberjack agrees.
I'm Alana Hackman. I'm a fourth year at Cal Poly Humboldt, and I'm currently the co-editor-in-chief of the weekly student newspaper, The Lumberjack.
Hackman is a journalism major who has been focusing on campus issues.
Because it's so important, especially with such a small campus. No one's really covering just the campus, so we really tried to do that.
Due to the campus closure, Hackman and other student reporters have had little to no access to their newsrooms. However, they continue to report from their dorms and kitchen tables. We asked Hackman to describe the last 48 hours.
It's been crazy. I was out running errands and not really paying attention to things because I wasn't looking at notifications because my phone was dead. And then as soon as I get in the car, I just see police in Eureka, like, driving super fast down Broadway. And I'm like, what's going on? And then I look at my phone and all of my reporters are like, oh, there's a protest. I'm going right now. I have my camera, all of those things. So I'm so grateful that we had people on the ground already because I was unaware that it was even happening. So it was a little hectic, but we rushed over there and I immediately started the live stream. It was like around a 4-hour live stream. There were some technical difficulties. I know El Lenador was also doing a live stream, but I did about a 4-hour live stream. I was walking around just circling Siemens, trying to get as much coverage as I could. Also sort of relaying information to concerned community members while also trying to remain factual and fact-checking. A lot of the things I was saying, I was like, these have not been fact-checked yet. So it was just getting that honest reporting out there while also just keeping live updates for the community rather than focusing on direct reporting, especially when the protest unfolded. It was just a lot of emotions and like hectic things going on. So it was best to just get some live coverage instead of asking people too many questions at the moment.
Following Monday's chaotic scene, the campus announced an extended closure, but it has limited the Lumberjack's ability to produce timely news.
And then Tuesday, we have no access to our newsroom currently, so we used our journalism space on campus that we have an actual key for, not a key card, so we can actually get in there. There were about like 10 to 12 of us in that little house on campus, sitting on our laptops, which we never use. We always use desktops that the school provides for us, sitting on our own personal laptops, laying out a paper, a 10-page paper, while also listening to the Senate meeting in one room, a reporter keeping track of what's going on behind the barricade, and it's constant back and forth, running back and forth, and then also getting our door knocked on by faculty telling us that campus is closed and we probably don't care, as they put it, but just letting us know again. But we were all ready to write that paper. We were all determined to do so. We're such a small group, but we all hit the ground running with this story and have so much passion to just inform the public about what's going on.
The Cal Poly Humboldt Senate, a body comprised of faculty, staff, admin, and students, held their monthly meeting yesterday via Zoom due to the campus closure. Hackman attended and shared the highlights.
I sat in on the Senate meeting yesterday. That was from 3 to 5. they had an agenda set up with like budget rules and credit, no credit deadlines. And that really got pushed to the last like 20 minutes, I'd say. And the chief of staff, Mark Johnson, made a statement on behalf of Tom Jackson. And he was basically just mentioning how the students have been asked multiple times if they would like to hold the peaceful protest elsewhere, and they're refusing. So at this point, it's trespassing. And I know he mentioned something along the lines of, it wasn't a direct quote, but something along the lines of how at this point, students occupying a state government building is trespassing. So actions will need to be handled there. There was also some talk in the Senate meeting on behalf of Samuel Parker, the Associated Students President. He was speaking for Chrissy Holiday, the VP of Enrollment, and she relayed information to him before the Senate meeting that there are confidential documents in the Siemens Hall buildings. And if the students remain hands-off with those documents, they said that they will also remain hands-off. But if those documents were to be compromised, then that's when they would have to initiate things. There wasn't really much explanation on what that means or how they will be moving forward with that. There wasn't really a discussion on that. It was just a lot of discussing how the students are trespassing and they don't have a right to remain in that building. And they didn't really have a time cap for it, but it doesn't seem like the students are budging.
KEMA News requested a copy of the university Senate meeting. However, they have yet to return our request as of news time. It is believed that 40 to 60 students remain barricaded, and Hackman says her colleagues have gained access inside.
And they spoke from experience there, and they said everyone was in like high morale. Everyone is understanding, calm with each other and patient inside, and they're just really trying to work together for solidarity for Palestine. He said that he didn't see anything too wild inside, and I haven't had an update since last night, but apparently the Wi-Fi has been cut, so it's been kind of hard to do that.
We asked Hackman what their understanding of demands are and if there are reasonable concerns of anti-Semitism, which has been raised by the campus and national media outlets.
I think right now there are students who are pushing for ceasefire. There's like two sides of the protest, at least I'm seeing personally, is there are students that are pushing for ceasefire and removing occupation in Israel. And then there's also students and faculty who just want to stand with the students' right to do so. They want to support the students who are protesting and make sure that their safety is like top priority. And I feel like that's what I'm seeing more in a sense of. I haven't seen anything really like anti-Semitic or hateful against any groups besides the IDF and like government officials, as well as like the police officers that were there to mediate. I haven't really seen any negative comments on anyone else besides those individuals. And those are larger groups of people. I haven't seen anything that I would qualify as anti-Semitic, but again, that's not really my place to qualify what things are anti-Semitic or not. I'm not a Jewish woman, but I think it's just a lot of solidarity between students, staff, and faculty right now. And whether they're protesting for ceasefire or not, I think a lot of people are there just to support the students and make sure that their safety and their right to their First Amendment is protected right now.
KMUD programmer and volunteer journalist Daniel Nickerson is currently on scene reporting from the Cal Poly Quad. He stated that the campus is currently mellow and without a police presence. Students are sitting on the lawn outside of Siemens Hall, creating art and making food. Protesters inside Siemens Hall have released a list of needs, which include Ziploc bags, ACE bandages, sidewalk chalk, saline solution, camping supplies, utensils, and more. A station has been set up outside of the hall to drop off donated items. You can see a full list on the KMUD News Facebook page. And to stay up to date on all things Cal Poly protest, you can follow El Lenador, The Lumberjack, and KRFH on social media. You can also follow KMUD News and hear our previous reporting and coverage by visiting soundcloud.com/KMUD News.